God is good. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God for our worship team. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God for the way God raises up opportunities for us to honor Him. So I thank God for our worship team. Jesse, thank you for stepping up. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Happy Father's Day. Amen. We can always say it one more time. Happy Father's Day. Amen. To all our fathers online and that are physically here. Amen. Father, we thank you. Thank you. Truly, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to open our understanding to who you are. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Reveal Jesus to us. The revelation of Jesus reveals the Father to us. So our fellowship will be complete both with the Father and the Son by your Spirit.
Amen.
Have your way, Lord.
Amen.
Open our eyes to see. Open our ears to hear. Grant us understanding that brings transformation. May this Father's Day be a memorial, a transformation, a shift, a healing, deliverance of God, and establish us in your love. For that's who you are. The Father's love. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you. Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I pray the Lord will help us this morning. Amen.
Amen.
That we'll have focus as we receive from the Spirit of the Lord. And the word we will hear will be fruitful to us. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. First, before we go into the word, I want to celebrate our fathers. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for the way fathering is a university you never graduate from, amen?
Amen?
It's a learning process, it's a growing process. So we thank you for every one of you that have really done your best to be an example and to be a blessing both to your physical and spiritual children, amen?
Amen.
Thank you. God will honor you. The thing the Lord has put on my heart on this Father's Day is not particularly to just highlight our physical fathers, which some of that will be relational, but it's about all of us. What the Lord wants to share with you is something that has the devil has used to manipulate life because of the absence of father or understanding of fatherhood. It is what has plagued our society. It's what has destroyed homes. And the enemy uses it. But I pray that the Lord will expose that today and help us to be established in the love of the Father.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I'll be talking on identity today. Identity. Identity. As it relates to the revelation of the Father. Amen?
Amen.
I have a friend of mine, and I thank God for the privilege God gave me to meet him, and we became friends. When I first heard his testimony, it changed my life. It took limitations of my heart, of my mind, of my soul. And I knew that ever since the fall of man, I understand why Jesus is called no man your father. Not because you don't have physical parents, or you don't have daddies that are there for you. But something happened at the fall of man that made it impossible for physically a man to replicate the heart of God and the fullness of what God intends as a father. So ever since the fall of man, depends on what anybody has gone through from Adam, that blood that came from Adam. Depends on the circumstances you find yourself. Cain and Abel were born by the same parents, but one became a mother. Depends on the circumstance you find yourself, that bloodline has been polluted. It has been altered so that it cannot really represent God's heart when it comes to fatherhood. You can do well here. Some people, depends on how they were brought up, can do badly here. But if you really want to know and understand the heart and the reality of fatherhood, it can only come from God. Amen?
Amen.
That's why Jesus made that statement, not to in any way minimize us as physical parents, but he wanted us to know that even in the physical, there could be a lot of errors. There could not be perfection of what God wants to reveal as a father. And that's why he came. And he really reflected the full picture of what a father's heart would look like. And he did it not having a own physical child of his own to reveal to generations to come. It is not about the physical. It's about being an example to your community. And being an example both to your physical, to your spiritual, and to your those your mentor. We just sang this song, Jesus is my Father. So as we go into this, I want to begin by the impact of this, my friend. People's testimonies impact you in different ways. But this man's testimony made a big difference. He came to Cleveland, and at this time God was using him mightily in Uganda. And I mean, God was moving. He had a massive church, 18,000 people there, and it just grew and exploded. He fills Uganda stadiums with people, revival. And the government of his country, the president, the government listened to him. He's a voice in his country. And he came here. And God was using him. And when we sat down, he shared this testimony publicly. Everybody knows about it. But when I sat down to really spend time with him, he gives more details. But basically, as we move forward, this man was born and never first knew his mother. Never even knew who his father was. He was picked up in a trash can in Uganda. Picked up in a trash can. There was another brother that just passed by here, just came. His church is flourishing. Amazing work in Uganda. He was also picked from the trash can. Because of the fall of man, the human nature under pressure sometimes doesn't have the capacity to fulfill an assignment.
Jesus.
As parents.
Jesus.
Because from the fall of Adam, we lost the impact. We lost what God wanted to reveal to Adam and that bloodline. So, from Satan manipulating the mind of men to this day, nobody under that bloodline, under pressure, will not manifest this flesh as evil. And this flesh under pressure can never represent the intentions of their hearts. So today, for example, talking about Father's Day, another person that I pray with was a chairman and the head of a board. This is just one aspect of that. He's the head of a board of 7,000 foster kids in America. That's just one foster agency. 7,000. He's the chairman of that board. Foster kids. People that don't have a clue where their father or their mother, some of them are. Or those who, because of this fallen nature, their parents are all incarcerated. Some of their parents might be harlots or might be in jail, both male and female, because of drugs, abuse. So they have this case in foster homes. And he oversees this. And what made him become the chairman of this group, God spoke to him and says, if you take care of these people, if you take care of these people, my children, as orphans, I will take care of your own. And God kept that word to this man. Father, I was on a last two weeks, I was on a conference call. I think it's on a webinar from the governor's office on faith base and some other community support system the governor of Tennessee is implementing. This time, the faith-based meeting was based on how to bring an awareness and mobilize churches to take their place again, to do what the government cannot do by themselves. And the topic for this discussion was foster parents, foster homes. At the end of that meeting, the leader came on, representing the governor, said that there are already pastors and churches that are already doing this, taking care, they are working and helping foster home. And he says, brothers, you go and pray about this. We have over 2,000 kids that need a home. Why do they need a home? The reason they need a home, Jesus revealed it on the cross. When Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they knew not what they are doing, it's because that fallen nature from Adam does not know everything. God sent a remedy. Sent a solution to his own. This very bloodline, this Adamic nature, this fleshly nature, so religious, with all his knowledge, the very person of God in the flesh. They rejected him, they persecuted him, and they put him on the cross. They put all the curses upon him. Nailed him on that cross. He says his own rejected him. But on that cross, as Jesus was experiencing something, he took the position of every orphan He took the position of every abused child. He took the position of every abandoned child, male or female. He took the position of every hurting, everything the enemy has done from Genesis to that moment. That some of us don't even have a clue. Some policemen have seen just a glimpse of the evil that sometimes comes out of his flesh and homes.
Jesus
took that position of everything you can imagine that came out of that fallen, distorted nature on that cross. Why did he take that? He wanted to experience what it is, what it looks like, why he needs to die, why he needs to sacrifice his life to remedy, to restore, to heal every brokenness in the heart of man.
Jesus.
But for him to bring healing, to bring restoration, to bring deliverance, to release forgiveness, he had to experience what it looks like. So on that cross, he experienced abandonment. He experienced rejection. He experienced the worst form of abuse. And he was innocent. And finally says, Father, you have forsaken me. My God, why have thou forsaken me? The greatest pain of every human being that does not understand the love of the Father is the feeling of rejection and abandonment.
Jesus.
That void can never be filled by man.
Jesus.
And so on that cross, Jesus says, let me take the position of this abandonment, rejection, abuse. Let me take whatever it costs that Satan has done to man and possibly could do to future generations. Let me take that place for life. And let me give an exchange. I'm going to take that place of abuse, rejection, abandonment, the failures of mothers, the failures of fathers, when they have been put under pressure in this flesh. When circumstances that they never even knew about growing up happens and they lost control. Let me take every failure of man of revealing the heart of God. Let me take it and let me exchange it for something. So he took it and he exchanged it for the Father's love. Amen?
Amen.
That's why he said, Paul said, while we were yet sinners, God started his love for us by dying on the cross. Amen?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Jesus made a statement about the church that was to come. And every true church, he made a statement. He said, I did not come for those that are well. I came for those that are sick. What I'm about to share with you this morning is the reason why people will never be well in church, because we want people to come looking well, and so people have to hide their sickness and never get healed. The church is supposed to be a hospital where people should come as they are, because the way they are was caused by something. And if they can't be transparent the way they are, how can you know the way for touching the roots of what is caused them that way? So if they come and hide it, it takes the mercy of God to bring restoration and healing. That's religion. Amen?
Amen.
Moments like this, God brings words like this, and then you just wish everybody's here to hear that. One of the greatest healing in life, going back to that, my friend, is not just having your two eyes, because somebody was born blind. People were born lame. The greatest freedom you can ever have is the healing of the heart. They are very well-meaning people, rich people, wonderful people. I've met a lot of them. And their whole life is a wreck because their heart does not have evidence of the Father's love. Their parents didn't love them. They just taught them how to make money. And now they have money and they are miserable. Live on drugs, live on alcohol, live on everything else because you cannot purchase love. It's a void. Money can fix. A lot of things can fix. It's a void that can only be filled by the love of God that comes through people who have received that kind of love. So on that cross, Jesus exchanged everything that could possibly happen for forgiveness. And why would he forgive? Because he understood that from Adam, something has been defaulted. And that thing can never again, depends on what you go through, can never fix the heart of man. So, he says, I forgive. Whatever it is, that will now, then, but now in exchange, I give you the Father's love. I give you everything that I am from the Father. What did Jesus do? Jesus finally, for the first time, after the fall of Adam, everybody became an orphan. Jesus on the cross, for the first time, when he rose from the dead, made everybody back again. And you can boldly say, Father. Because we were orphans before then. So in John chapter 14, Thomas said unto him from verse 5, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, how can we know the way? Verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and what? The life. No man. It's talking about mankind. Every living person from that moment was born by a man and a woman. Amen? But here Jesus says, no man, not one. No man comes unto the Father, but what?
By me.
Please let this sink into your heart. No man can come to the Father except by me. What does that mean? That means before him, the world has no father. What does it mean? Let's read quickly to the next verse. Let's go to verse 18. Or let's just read from verse 14. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another what? Comforter. That he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot what? Receive. They cannot receive because they see him not, neither know him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, shall be in you. Now, verse 18 is the word that ties to I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father by me. Verse 18 says, I will not leave you comfortless.
Thank you, Jesus.
I will come to you.
It's always good to study scriptures and knowing the meaning in Hebrew and Greek. The meaning of that word comfortless in Greek is the word I will not leave you as orphans. That's the word. I will not leave you as orphans. Why is he saying that? Because he's about to go to the cross and for the first time give man the ability to say Abba, Father. In exchange for what has made us orphans. So, why would Jesus say, call no man your father? Does it mean we don't have? Because the bloodline of Adam does not have the capacity to represent what God means as father. So now that Jesus came, set the example of what it means to be a father. And lived out every aspect of his life, showing the relationship between a father and a true son. And showing that legacy that he was to leave behind. Came here says, I will not leave you orphans. I will not leave you fatherless. So, fatherhood is just more than just being a man that has a child. It's the ability to translate and to raise people and make them examples of love in our community. So, when we read things like this, it sounds like very deep words. So, one of the ways God brings realities to me is by using examples in the physical I can relate to. And then it gives me spiritual examples. So, I want to use a physical, but from scripture, examples to begin to prepare us for heart transformation, for true revival that takes place on the heart, freedom, being established. Amen? I want to read this scripture here in 2 Timothy. Again, we're talking about identity. Timothy. 2 Timothy. You all know the scripture? Let's look at it together. 2 Timothy 7. Paul was writing to this great pastor, great man of God, his son in the Lord. His son in the Lord. And he said, for God has not given you or given us the spirit of fear. In Romans, he says, the spirit of bondage again to fear. What has God given us? What are the characteristic ingredients of a son that we eventually really reference a father? See, you can't be a son unless you have a father. And you cannot understand sonship unless you really understand the revelation what a father is. And you cannot place the responsibility on a man because he has a child. I'm calling you father. But we thank God for men who exemplify biblical fatherhood. So God wants to reveal to us the ability to forgive. The ignorance of man like Jesus did on the cross. When we understand this. So Paul was writing to Timothy, son in the Lord, like his own physical son, like Jesus did when he dwelt. And he said, verse 7, for God has not given us, you, the spirit of fear. Romans, he says, the spirit of bondage again to fear. He has given you the heart of a son. And what is the characteristic of that of a son? He said, but he is giving unto you the spirit of power and love and what?
A sound
mind. Why does he use the word all those? Because a lot of physical fathers that were ignorant or have gone through a lot, the representation they've given to their children destroys the ability for them to have sound mind. Destroys, distort the meaning of love. And there is no power to it. There's no transformation to living a true, peaceful life. But this is what God has given us by His Spirit as sons. This is what is in it. Power, love, and sound mind. So, using this as a contrast. So it says, God is not giving you the spirit of bondage to fear, or the spirit of fear, but He's giving you the spirit of love, or the spirit of power, love, sound mind. So here is truly a son. These are the things you grow in. You grow in power, you grow in love, soundness, the mind of Christ. So here is the characteristics of what the Spirit of the Lord puts as the fruit of the Spirit, love. Love. And here he says, fear is not what God has given. Now here is faith. Amen?
Amen.
So let's look at fear and let's look at faith, because faith works only by love. As the nature of the fruit of the Spirit. Fear is not the Spirit of God. The wrong fear. So if you look at these two, the spirit of fear brings bondage. The spirit of fear brings death. This one brings freedom, and it brings love, and it brings sound mind. It gives you power for living. Amen?
Amen.
That word fear on my left hand here is the word insecurity, intimidation, lack of self-esteem. That's the definition of that word fear. Those are the way it manifests. Somebody might not say, oh, I have no service, I have this. But that's what that fear symbolizes. And I'm about to walk you through how it works. We can relate to it. So, fear, this, faith, bondage, freedom, insecurity and us, confidence, power in God. So, having these two now, let me use the natural again, now that we read the scripture. So, what happened is, here is the fallen Adam, isn't it? That nature of flesh. From the time men fall from sin and God lifted, a man just carried his fleshly nature, fleshly soul. And here Jesus came. Amen?
Amen.
There's a cross between these two. It's an exchange. So here, now remember I'm talking about identity. Really pay attention. Today, you will leave this place, if you listen, free. And you'll be able to help other people.
Amen.
Because I came out of this, and God had to teach me what the cross does to live in this. No matter the problems you face. So here, which is the nature of the fallen man, Adam and stuff. But this is what God has provided for us. So, Israel were in Egypt here. Amen?
Amen.
And Israel in Egypt here were going through what you call torture, oppression, slavery. Basically, the Bible put it together as bondage. A house of bondage. the house of Pharaoh. The spirit of the world puts you in bondage. With taskmasters, meaning that's all you know. You walk. You do everything you do is just flesh, and it's all about for yourself, what you can gain. So that's the world here, and all the foreign things to do with it in Egypt. So God told them, I'm going to bring you out of this place, and I'm going to bring you to here, where there's milk and honey, where there's life, and you're going to walk in this place. Amen? And I'm going to be your father. I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to, God explain all that. So now, they came out of Egypt. You know the story. They came out of the world. They came out of the world. They came out of the house of bondage. They came out of Pharaoh's. They came out of all that has happened, all the abuse, whatever they went through, and they didn't know what, they came out of it. And they are coming to walk in what God has. Love, power, sound, mind, provision, inheritance. But on their way, they have to come through the cross. And it's called the wilderness. Where God shows you your heart really goes deeper to show you the pain and what you're going through. That's the cross. And it's a place where you either accept this or you go back to this or you die in the wilderness. In the situation. So right here in the wilderness, where God was going to show them something, what did he show to them? My brothers and sisters, they are no more in Egypt. How many of you agree, understand what I'm saying? They are no more in Egypt. It was, Pharaoh is not there. The taskmasters are not there. All the things were not there. But they came here. God is over them in the wilderness. But the plan is for God to bring them here. But the cross, you can't get here without the cross. So while they were here, something happened. Amen?
Amen.
Something happened. God showed them something. I'm going to show you. God showed them their condition. God showed them their heart. And God is saying, receive Jesus, receive me, or reject me. Let's see what I do. How did he show it to them? It takes faith to come over here. While they were here, Egypt was manifesting in them. Whatever they experienced in Egypt, Egypt is not there, but they were manifesting the things in Egypt outside of Egypt. Amen? So the point is, the problem is no more Egypt. The problem is in here. It's me, isn't it? Because Pharaoh is no more there. All this, so why am I, all these things are, why am I rebelling? Why am I murmuring? Why am I worshipping Egyptian gods in the temple, in the presence of the mountain? Why am I doing everything that I was doing in Egypt here, and I'm not in Egypt? That means Egypt has done something to me that I carry everywhere.
Yeah.
Something has happened to me in the world, by the world, that has not left me yet. I'm not free from it. Because under pressure, it shows that it's not producing this. It's producing Egypt. Pain. Amen?
Amen.
So that's happening in my mind, in my soul, and in my emotions. Another example of them coming out of Egypt, they are here in the wilderness, but God is trying to set us free from us, to bring us here, was another situation. God let them see a problem in the promised land. God let them see a problem. God let them see a need. God let them see a situation. I want you to take note of this, because this is Father's Day. God is a good father.
Yeah.
I want you to listen carefully. It will be easy for you to forgive any human being. No matter what they do to you. because Jesus did it for me. Here, I'm carrying something that has been sown into my life, impacted my life, and the people are no more there. And God is saying, I want to remove it and give you a new heart. But first, we have to do some surgery here. But to do the surgery, I have to let you see what I'm about to take out of you. Amen?
Amen.
So, what started coming out was the heart of an orphan. It was the condition that describes an orphan. What is the heart of an orphan? Insecurity. It's low self-esteem because they've been passed down. The parents in Egypt carried it. They've been beaten and passed down to the children. And now they're in the wilderness. And all they have is the heart of an orphan. What is the heart of an orphan? God tested them. He says, I'm going to give you this promise. I'm going to do this. He sends 12 of them to go look at it. An orphan sees things through fear. Mm-hmm. Sons, they see things through the love of God and the faithfulness of God. Mm-hmm. They see things through what God can do and what God has promised. An orphan sees things through the Egyptian eyes, through the abuse from Egypt, through the eyes of steel. I still carry slavery in my heart, even though I'm free physically from the place of slavery. I cannot have that. I cannot do that because I still see my masters here. They are no more here, they are here because I still see from the lenses of insecurity, the lenses of fear. God showed them that in your heart, that you are still carrying that insecurity, that slavery in here, and that's how you see things. That's how you look at things. And there were two that has been set free from that situation. God did it for a purpose, Joshua and Caleb. When they looked with the heart of someone that is free. They are free from Egypt and they are free. Egypt is no more in their heart. And when they look at what God promised, look at where God is taking them, they followed the regulations, they followed Moses' command, and when they saw the enemies, they said, if God said it, he loves us enough not to lie to us. He's big enough to fulfill his promise. He cares enough not to leave us without his fulfilling. They saw things from trusting a father that has shown them he can be trusted. But from slavery, no, we can't trust you, God. We can't. Moses said, no, we cannot. We can't do it. Let's go back. Always seeing things from the place of failure. Anger, frustration, slavery. But Joshua and Caleb was free. Whatever Moses say, whatever God say, God will do it. Why? Because they received a lot from Egypt. When God showed his love, even when they were in sin, defeated, brought them out, even when they could not come out on their own. Why would that God abandon you now? Why would that God not care for you now? Why would a God who died for you when you were in sin not love you? But still, he's been accused of not being faithful. He's been accused that he can't fulfill his promise. Why? Because of what is still in here. Amen?
Amen.
So, fear, insecurity, those things still were carried. And unless we experience the cross, the cross is where a true exchange is done. The cross is where you say, Jesus already put his position in that man. He will fail you. That woman will fail you. That will fail. This will fail. That will fail. Jesus already put himself there and he says, I know what this flesh is. If you do something wrong to that father, he's going to pass it on to his children. If he's not fixed, that's what he's going to manifest because he's an orphan. If you do good to that woman, you will keep doing good. So you're going to go by, okay, because this person is good, No, he says our goodness is a filthy rag.
Jesus.
Because tomorrow if somebody doesn't do good, you hate them.
Mm.
You love them because they are good today. Tomorrow they can't do it, you hate them. See, that's not love. Love is unconditional and is ever unfailing. And we don't have it. Amen?
Amen.
So, whatever has happened, good or bad, Jesus says, I am exchanging the love of the Father. I'm going to give it to you in exchange. And that love has the Father's capacity to do what man's love cannot. Amen?
Amen.
So what happens at the cross is this. At the cross, you see your hurt. You see your pain. You see all these things. And then you see the source of it. If you point it at man or this or that, then God says, you have to exchange. Amen?
Amen?
Put Jesus in that man's position. Amen?
Amen.
And Jesus says, I died for it. Put him in this situation. Put him, and then says, okay, if you died for this, now let me receive your love. Let me receive your in exchange. That's the reason why the Bible says, we must be born again. You can't be born again if the old nature has the capacity to love. It cannot love.
Jesus.
He only loves when it's good for me. That's the flesh for you. Period.
Mm.
The flesh is about self.
Jesus.
Abuse is about self-gratification. Everything about self is evil. It appears that it's doing you good, but under pressure you find out self cannot love you. That's why we have to be born again. Amen?
Amen.
So when we are born again, now we have the nature of God. And God said, now that you have my nature, that doesn't mean you automatically overcame Egypt. Because it's already in your soul. You're born again by the Spirit. Now I want to show you how to let Egypt leave your soul and your heart. And that's the cross. Amen?
Amen.
Just like they came out of Egypt, so many of them encountered a lot in the wilderness and never, some made it to the promised land, some did not make it. Because they see everything through insecurity, through fear, through wound, and through hurt. Amen?
Amen.
The same way many of us are born again. But we've not been taught that our soul and the things that battered us and that soul and the mindset has not been broken. Has not been set free. So you'll be wondering, why would that pastor do this? Why would that father do this? Why would it? Because nobody has taught him how to crucify this evil that has been translated from the world. There is no gospel without the cross. The cross means, Paul says, I die daily. I see this situation, I surrender it. God, kill it. God, I don't like this in my life. God, I don't like this. I see. Please, remove it. What do I do? How do I surrender for you to take it out? Everything you die to makes you more a child of love, power, and a sound mind. Everything you die to increases your spiritual gift of the fruit of the Spirit. You cannot be a Christian for 30 years and still not overcome or grow a little bit out of something that happened to you since you were 50 years old. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus died for that. So there's a reason for that gradual dying to that thing, and you keep experiencing freedom from whatever it is until you really now have power over that thing because of the love of God. Amen?
Amen.
So let me walk you through a few things on my left and on my right. And we want to look at it through the eyes of the cross. Amen?
Amen.
There's a brother. I think it's one of those people, when they passed away, it was one of the most, I wasn't very close to him, but I cried like I was close to him. There are gifts that God gives to the church, to the body, for the healing of the body. The purpose of the gift is to make us more mature, powerful, free, fruitful Christians. And this brother, the reason I want to use this is because he was able to really, what I summarized to you now, my left, I can go into the Bible and go into a lot of spiritual things, but I want to walk us through some practical things. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. If you are awake, say amen.
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 So this brother, God gave him an amazing gift. I want to encourage you, really, I don't do something like this, but as I was, God was showing me to share this. It's what you're looking for. His name is Jack Frost. He wrote a book called From Slavery to Sonship. It's unbelievable what God put in him through into that book. You can read Romans, you can read all this, you know, but it's like that brings it home to you, what you, why you go through, why you feel, and how to get deliverance. So let's look at this together. Amen?
Amen.
I want to beg you, just beg you one thing. What I'm about to walk you through in a few minutes, don't think about sister this or brother this. Take it personally.
Jesus.
And look at the cross and see if there's anything, when we look at this, that in any way that you would like to give to the Lord or surrender to the Lord in some ways to grow more in love and power and soundness of mind. Because this subject is about identity, your identity, Jesus said, who do they say I am as the Son of Man? Based on the revelation of your identity, is the level to which you really can operate in authority and power. Is the level to which you can walk in the love and confidence of God as a son or a daughter of God. Today, Father's Day, your identity is that of a son or a daughter of God. Amen?
Amen?
That will change everything about your perception and about your life. So let's walk through this. As identity of sons. As an identity of a son of God, I want you to look at the image of God from your perspective. How do you see God? What is your image of God? On my left hand, this is how the people on my left hand, the orphan hearts, this is how the world sees God. One, they see God, the image of God in their mind, they see God as a master, as a tax master. Because that's all you know in Egypt. Amen? Somebody who always wants me to do this so that it, just for their own benefit. Walk, 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 do this, do this. Since they see God as a master, they don't see God as a father. It's a big difference. They see God as a boss. And on my right hand, as you begin to receive God and walk in this area, they see God as a loving father. Amen?
Amen.
What I'm sharing with you today, I'm trying to take man out of the picture and give you God's perspective, how to look at man. In relationship to fatherhood. Dependency. The people on my left, orphan heart, or struggling with that orphan heart, or not completely free from understanding the love of the Father. Dependency, when it comes to dependency, they are independent and self-reliant. An orphan is very independent and self-reliant. When it comes to dependency, those are the, they are interdependent and acknowledges their need before God. When it comes to theology, scriptural knowledge, this I'm talking to Christians now. Paul was saying to Timothy, They live by the rule of law. All Francis wants, if you do, Pharisee, if you do, don't do, don't do, and if you do, don't do, don't, you're doing well, they like you. If you do, don't, you fail, that's it. You're finished. The people here live by the rule of love and grace. They make room for you to make mistakes. They walk you through, they love you through until you make it. Amen.
Amen.
When it comes to need for approval, you know, Jesus always says, don't put your praise in man. Not that we don't need it. We need appreciation. We need, but we're talking about orphan heart. When, you know, orphan heart, the world and here. When it comes to need for approval, the people on my left here, they strive for the praise of men. They strive for the approval of men. And they strive for the acceptance of men. And if they don't get it, they are not very efficient. They are not committed. Amen?
Amen.
Here, need for approval, they are totally accepted in God's love and justified by God's grace. So they don't do anything they do just because they want to please men. These people have made themselves slaves because it's like, if nobody pats me on the back, then security, your security. The people on my left, dealing with insecurity, dealing with, they are insecure and they lack peace. All this is because of not having the right revelation of the Father's love. Everything I'm sharing with you, man, is from the right perspective of what the love of our Heavenly Father should be, whether true men or not men. Security, the people of this place, they rest in peace. Amen?
Amen.
Motives for service. One of the ways you know somebody that is struggling with an orphan heart is really a Christian that is really operating from the soulish realm. Motives for service. A need for personal achievement as you seek to impress God and others, and no motivation to serve at all. They are driven for achievement. Why? Because that achievement gives them self-worth. Their self-worth is based on what they have, what they can achieve, and that becomes like their bank account becomes a god. Nothing wrong with money, nothing wrong with achievement, but those things become their life. And that's why when they lose it, they want to commit suicide. There's nothing to live for. Motive for service of the people here. Service that is motivated by a deep gratitude for being unconditionally loved and accepted by God. These people are just manifesting what God is already putting there. Amen?
Amen?
At various levels. Motive behind Christian discipline. We all know discipline is essential. But how do you know an orphan heart when they are disciplining people? They do it out of duty and earning God's favor or no motivation at all. In other words, if they when God disciplines them, they do it as duty. When they discipline others, it's always a checklist duty. But not out of love or favor. The people on our light is a pleasure and a delight. It's like none of us like to be disciplined. Our flesh doesn't like it. But when you know what the person is doing, your parents are trying to do, eventually you appreciate them for it. You know, my dad corrected me about this. My dad corrected me about this. And I thank you, mommy, for doing this. Amen?
Amen.
Motive for purity. The people here is a must. Holiness is a must. Must be holy to have God's favor, thus increasing the sense of shame and guilt. In other words, the people here, all they have to do is they have to live by works of holiness. So whenever they can't do anything and they don't feel holy, they are ashamed, they feel guilty, and they hide. They run away. But the people here, motive for purity is they want to be holy, do not want anything to hinder intimacy relationship with God. They want God and they want relationship with God that is based on they really want to be with God. Amen? They don't want anything that will hinder their relationship with God. But here is, if I'm not holy, God doesn't want me. If I'm holy, God wants me. So when there's problem, they run or they hide. There's no room for forgiveness and transparency. Self-image. Self-image. People here, because of what I shared with you earlier, they always live out of self-rejection. And they always compare themselves to others. If you always compare yourself, oh this, oh that, and before you know it, you know that comparison because you're always feeling insecure. You don't really know your identity. You feel insecure and you compare yourself to somebody, or you compare yourself to either somebody that you're better than and you feel good. When you compare yourself to somebody that's better than you, you feel insecure and your esteem is gone. Low self-esteem. These are some of the things that are in our soulish realm that only the cross can transition today. Self-image, the people here, positive and affirmed because you know you have such value to God. You know God loves you. He's put a value on you. Your parents has put value on you. They make you feel you are the most important person. God makes you feel that way. So you don't need any person to make you feel important. You don't go looking for it. You don't go giving up everything you have to get somebody to make you feel you're important or you're loved. Because you already have it from God. Amen?
Amen.
Peer relationship, peer pressure, relationship at work, relationship at school, relationship with friends. The people on my right, on my left here, because of that orphan heart, that fatherless understanding of the love of God, this is what happens. They are always in competition. They are always rivalry. There's nothing wrong about sports. But if they miss or they feel something, they get angry. They get offended. They almost hate you for losing something that you're just doing for fun. Amen?
Amen.
Self-rejection. Peer relationship. Competition, rivalry, jealousy towards others, success and position. I'm rushing this for time. I would have gone deeper into this. There are people, they just cannot handle you affirm other people. Why? He didn't say anything about me.
Jesus.
They get angry. They get offended. So it's so hard for you to commend somebody that just did something in their presence.
Jesus.
And then, if you don't commend them, 2 days they'll remind you, you commended this person, you didn't commend me now. Amen?
Amen?
Competition, rivalry, jealousy. Somebody gets blessed. The people on this right are celebrating. The person here said, why not me? I'm telling you what is in us. God is a God of abundance and blessing. That's why Cain killed Abel. Both of them did something. They did right. Cain couldn't stand Abel because God says, I will receive that. It's okay. Do what you need to do for me to receive yours. He got angry and killed his brother. That's what jealousy can do at a street. People buy a new car or get a house. You won't be happy for them. Why? Because of an orphan heart. Insecurity, no self-esteem. You're not in a position to affirm somebody and appreciate them. Peer relationship on this side is humility, unity, as you value others and are able to rejoice in their blessing and success. My brothers and sisters, I'll be honest with you. This is not the kind of thing that happens. You say, I'm just going to do it. That's who I am. It's the cross that will make you that. Because some of these things, you don't know when you do them. It just comes spontaneously and you see yourself manifesting it.
Jesus.
Source of comfort. The people on my left, often hard, not understanding the Father's love, they seek comfort in counterfeit affections, addictions, compulsions, escapism, busyness, hyper-religious activity. Sometimes, our business in church is not on God. Sometimes our business, look at what he's saying here. That's the mentality of an orphan heart. You want to stay busy 24/7 because you don't want to face yourself.
Jesus.
You don't want to deal with what is on your heart.
Jesus.
It's like alcoholics. That's why the alcoholics, they take addiction. See, addiction, alcoholics, compulsion, busyness is an addiction.
Jesus.
Because the people on the right here, their source of comfort is they seek times of quietness with God. Solitude to rest in the Father's presence. The other people have been driven so much, tax masters in Egypt, now they don't know what to do with themselves. Listen, my brothers and sisters, if you see yourself so busy that when God gives you 5 minutes or 10 minutes to rest, what do I do myself? You need to repent this morning. Because that shows your source of comfort is not completely God. You're just doing things to feel. And that's why many of us get burnt out. Amen? Because of an orphan heart. Amen? Handling others' faults. The people on this side, accusation, exposure, in order to make yourself look good by making others look bad. Somebody has a fault. Who doesn't have a fault? You jump on it because you want to feel good. Amen? About yourself. Amen? I'm listing practical things that are in our soulish realm is keeping us from being mature Christians and free. Amen? Accusation and exposure. You expose the people, you accuse them, you talk about them, and then before you know it, you look good. You feel better. But on here, handling others' fault, love covers as you seek to restore others the spirit of love and gentleness. Love. If you have a child, and the child messes up, you don't go tell the whole world. You want to help that child recover. You cover your children, isn't it? Even when other people say, no, that's not my child you're talking about. Amen?
Amen?
That's love. Then, really quick, view of authority. See, these people here, they see authority as a source of pain, distrust for towards them, and a lack of heart attitude of submission. These people here, they are so wounded, hurt, they've come from. They don't respect authority because all they know about authority from Egypt is abuse. So they distrust authority, no trust for authority. But the people here, they are respectful, honoring. You see them as ministers of God for good in your life. In other words, you see others, you esteem others, you love others, because now you've received that from God. You also trust God. How many of you know that we are all learning to trust God?
Amen.
Why are we learning to trust God? Because we came out of a war that we just don't know how to trust. So it's hard, as great as God is, as wonderful, we're still struggling to trust Him for the things He said He can do. More or less trusting other people. View of admonition, correction. The people here, they have difficulty receiving admonition. You must be right, so you easily get your feelings hurt and close your spirit to discipline. People on this side, I don't know if you know people, you just cannot correct them. You can't even say the nicest way. Why? They will get angry. And some kind of anger is just a manipulation for control. They just want to remain the way they are. So if you just try to change anything that everybody knows is wrong, they get angry. That's an orphan heart. It's a heart that is in pain. and just wants to remain in that. But the people on here, view of admission, they see receiving of admission as a blessing and a need in your life, in our lives, so that your faults and weaknesses are exposed and put to death. Amen?
Amen.
What you don't receive correction from never changes. You remain the same. You see some Christians just started today, and you see them growing. And you see some Christians in church, in the area of maybe just anger, or something that is obvious. Still, 10 years in church, you still see the same thing happening. Because they don't want you to touch that area. But this other people say, okay, I'm not happy you told me this, but say, God, this is really in my life. You bring it to the cross. And God starts chipping it down. And you grow. Amen?
Amen?
That's what the Father does. That's why. Expression of love. These people are guided and conditional. Based upon others' performance as you seek to get your own needs met. In other words, these people are always very selective, guided, careful. Who I love, who I don't love. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't mean you don't use wisdom, but they are guided and their love is always conditional. If it's my son, or if it's my brother, or if it's my church member, I can lead them. Look, remember the Good Samaritan? Mm-hmm. It was a worship leader and a priest passed by that place, but their love was conditional. Mm-hmm. Guided. I'm not going to pay that price. I'm not going to get out of my way and someone is dying. Maybe it's not my sister, it's not my brother. He doesn't go to our church. They are very protective of who they love for selfish purpose. That's an orphan heart. If you have a father or parents that do that, why would you expect them to give you the love of God? If you have a husband that does that, why would you see that as a perfection of the expression of God's love? Expression of love on this side, they are open, transparent, patient, affectionate, as you lay your life and your agendas down in order to meet other people's needs. That's not human. That only comes from God. Amen?
Yeah.
A good Samaritan. Sense of God's presence. This side offers conditional and distant. God is far off there. Very, very far. And God says, come near to me, I'll come near to you. God is very far, and they see God's presence as conditional. If I do right, He's here. If I do wrong, He's not here. Amen?
Amen?
Everything is what I do is my righteousness for how I receive God's presence. So if they're not doing well, they run away from God's presence, like Adam and did. But sense of God's presence for this is close and intimate. You see God as a friend, as a father. Even when you're doing wrong, David says His presence is there to pull me out of the valley of the shadow. If I make my bed in hell, He's seeking after me. He's pursuing me to bring me out. He's praying, interceding for me, a prodigal to come back home. All relentless, not giving up. That's a close relationship. Condition. The condition of the people here, if you're going through that, is bondage. It's a bondage. You come out of Egypt, but you're still struggling with bondage. Condition here is freedom. A freedom where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Position. The people here, really quick, they feel like a servant and a slave. Anything they do, somebody's using me. They're using me. Anything they do is slave mentality. Here, they feel like a son and a daughter that are just doing things for them, just because they love to do it. Amen?
Yes.
Vision. Their spiritual ambition. The earnest desire for some spiritual achievement and distinction and the willingness to strive for it. The desire to be seen and counted among the matured. These guys here in church or the woman here in church, whatever, they are always creating competition. They desire to be seen. Some of them with their pastors. They can build projects just to feel good, even when God doesn't ask them to build a project.
Amen.
Just be doing stuff just to be loud, even when God is not telling you to do it. Because they want something to make them feel achievement. And they create a lot of Ishmaels. Amen?
Amen.
Because they just put their word there. But here, daily experience with the Father, unconditional love and acceptance, and then be sent as a representative, his love to his family. In other words, you do things, you're doing your best to honor God, and you're waiting on what Jesus says, I only do what I see my Father. You strive to hear from God. You do your best to say, God, do we do this? Do we do that? Everything you do, you are doing what you can to say, is this the will of God? Is this my Father's heart? But this other place, you just feel like it, you do it. Don't feel, just doing. Amen?
Amen.
Finally, future. The people here, the way they see their future, they fight for what they can get. There's some people, when we're doing this unity prayer one time, some pastors say, what is in there for me? What is in there for me? We're calling for unity, to pray for the city and do what is in there for me. Amen?
Amen.
You're serving in church, what am I going to gain from it? You're giving, what is in there for me? Whatever you do, it's always about what is there for me. God already has inheritance for you. The people on this side, as they are sons, and they release their inheritance. They know God loves them, and God has a future, and he thinks the best of them, and has a plan for their future. Amen?
Amen.
So these are just, we just ran through this. On Father's Day, for what reason? Because a lot of us here, we are sons, and we are daughters of God. But our true identity is that of an orphan. God is calling us in this hour to begin to walk as sons and daughters, matured of God. And to surrender those things that are keeping us from walking in that maturity. Amen?
Amen.
So let's take a moment if we can stand together. I told you not to think about sister this or brother this. Amen? Among all these things that we listed, I want you to see if there's anything at all that relates to you. Amen?
Amen?
All of them, I see it myself there. A lot of it. That's why I've gone through my own cross. And I'm still going through it. But if nothing relates to you there, praise the Lord. If I see you 2 years from now, you'll still be the same. Amen?
Amen?
So let's give ourselves to the Lord on this Father's Day. Turn your heart towards your Father. Ask God to give you grace to forgive man. We have earthly fathers. They are not perfect. Some are just manifesting what came into their life that they didn't even know where they came from. Jesus says, forgive their ignorance and make room for true love to come from the Father. Amen?
Amen.
So, just go through it. Are you positively competitive or negatively competitive? Just go through those things we mentioned. Ask the Lord. This is on the cross. Something happened. Jesus took one position and then took the other and said, forgive, and then took the pain. So this morning, ask God to forgive you. People you've had captive in your heart, or even you holding yourself captive. It might be husband and wife. Whatever it is, ask the Lord. You and the Lord. Some of you, you're looking at me. Amen? I'm not your problem now. Look at God and look at yourself. Amen? Amen. Pray. Pray. Close your eyes. Take this moment serious. This is Father's Day. God wants to do a father's surgery. He wants to do something. He wants to meet you. He wants to really remove some things and bring freedom. Another level of freedom. He wants to make you a daughter's son. not an orphan. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Father, we thank you. We receive your word. Father, we thank you. Help us, oh God, these things you've spoken. Remind us, oh God.
Amen.
When we are doing them, remind us to lay them aside.
Amen.
That will be better wives and better husbands.
Amen.
That will be better fathers. And will be better forgivers. Because we know that everything that comes to us as an offense reminds us of the fallen nature. So we have the grace to forgive the ignorance of what people don't have the capacity to give. Father, we receive love from you. We receive love from you. Even when we are sinners, you forgive us. Give us that love, God. Unconditional. No respect of persons. Serve you with a loving heart, not for what we can get. Father, do this in our heart. On this Father's Day, give us your heart. That will be good husbands, good wives, good family, good children. We thank you, Lord. Circumcise us this morning and fill us with your unconditional love. The love of the Father. We thank you for it.
Thank you, Lord.
We receive it, oh God.
Amen.
We thank you.
Thank you,
in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. You can be seated. The Holy Spirit will continue this work in our hearts. Amen. 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 God bless you today.